thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anthony, how you doing?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Where do we think we stand day two with Kyrie Irving?
So I don't think anything has changed, and I just think that now it's a matter of, you know, an interesting thing popped into my head, and I meant to share with this with you as we just before he came on the air, so forgive me for not informing you ahead of time. But I start to wonder in this sort of thing, like, if you're Kyrie and you've gotten this far, because again, Steven said right there, right then and there, he's had to manage it all year. He's had to work hard on it. And clearly it's gotten to the point now where maybe it's gotten a little worse. If you're Kyrie, you don't get this far and then say, screw it. Right? You've come too far. The playoffs are about to start. The whole point is you get to go in the postseason now without LeBron. Like, your whole season was aimed toward this, to play the important games without LeBron. I wonder if, and this is not, I'm not telling you I have any inside info. I'm just speculating. But I wonder if the Celtics are encouraging him to shut it down. Like, I wonder if the Celtics look at it and say, slow down. Like, and if this thing doesn't go away, we're going to pull the plug on you. Hayward's out already. Smart's out. We're not going to have him back till the middle of May anyway. We've lost Tice. Not that they put that in the same category. But we're taking hits on all sides here. And so, you know what? We're going to pull the plug on you, not the other way around. Like, because the instinct is that the player says, I can't go, my knee hurts. And I wonder if in this case it's backwards.
Do you read anything into, and that's, because I get the feeling, and I do it based off of last night, that Irving's going to come back. Just his body language on the bench. You know, if
he wants to play, I think.
Yeah, I would say if, you know, he's going to get the second opinion, he's going to see the specialist, and again, getting according to Maz's reporting, and pretty much looks like the lay of the land, that if the recommendation is to take those screws out, he takes them out now and he's done. If he felt that was going to happen, would he be on the bench carrying on like he was last night? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, he felt awfully invested there for someone who might get told to shut it down tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I think
you know what I'm saying?
I think he wants to play. I think Kyrie wants to play. I think he has, you know, and I think they're at the point where if they have to, he doesn't play until the playoffs. Like, we touched on this yesterday. It wouldn't surprise me at all at this stage. You got, what, 10 games left? You know, something like that? You get to this stage with him, you know he can play. You know, what are you worried about him for? His ability is indisputable. So maybe if you're Kyrie, you say, you know what, just we're going to shut you down. You're not playing again in the regular season. We're going to get that thing as healthy as we can, and then we'll see how we go. Because once we get into the playoffs anyway, we're going to get 2 days off sometimes. So you might be able to give us 40 minutes, do nothing on the next day. On the second day, just, you know, get it loose a little bit, whatever, get on the bike, maybe take a couple of jumpers, just keep your feel right, but nothing hard, and then we'll have you back out there for game two. Maybe that's how they're going to do it. But I think the issue is real, is my point.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I just liked his body language last night. He was not carrying on, again, on the bench, just cheering on his teammates. He did not look to me like a guy who's going to be told tomorrow to shut it down, or that he felt that was a possibility. Now, it is a possibility, it turns out. But I was encouraged by just the way he looked on the bench. Gary Washburn writes in the Boston Globe, if Irving is healthy and able to play, he should return. But if playing this season poses any risks to his long-term health and his status for next season, when the Celtics will bring back a healthy Gordon Hayward along with more experienced Brown and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, for a bona fide NBA title run, then he should get the surgery. Irving was supposed to play Sunday in New Orleans, but was ruled out early that afternoon. On Monday, he was ruled out of Tuesday's game. He already has been ruled out of the road trip that begins on Friday. There doesn't seem to be any encouraging news on the horizon if Irving has treated and rested his knee for nearly 2 weeks and is still feeling discomfort. And what Washburn is basically saying is, err on the side of surgery. Err on the side of shutting him down. How do you feel about that, Murray?
Yeah, I think the team should be thinking longer term. Because Kyrie can doctor shop all he wants and find a doctor that's eventually going to tell him, yeah, you'll be all right. You can play on this. Don't worry about it. And that's a concern. And this is why I didn't want Gordon Hayward to rush back, too. You know he wants to play. But if it's the team standing in his way saying, hey, no, we got to think longer term here, they're right to do that.
So again, Washburn writes, the Celtics have to plan on Irving not coming back. That's not because the knee is too damaged, but because if after 10 days he's seeking a second opinion, it may be worth having corrective surgery. So that's really the
crux of it. Yeah, that's right. He hasn't played in 10 days. And even the last game he played, he only played 15 minutes.
So he has played one half in 11, 12 days. And after that 10-day rest period, he needs to see a second opinion. I mean, just that in and of itself tells you where they're at.
Correct. Since March 8th, he's played 15 minutes. 15 minutes since March 8th.
And they're seeing a second, and they're seeing a specialist. It's not like he's only played 15 minutes since March 8th and he's coming back next week. No, no. He's only played 15 minutes since March 8th and he's seeing a guy.
Correct. So look, now, here's what I would say. You know, Washburn says they should shut him down if there's any doubt. If there's any risk of doing anything more in there, of course. No two ways. Right? You're not going to win it this year anyway, and in that league, you can think this way. But if it's a pain thing, play. Play. I mean, I believe in that. You know, you build a team, you get guys to invest, you get through the whole season, you get a fan base interested, you're selling tickets the whole nine yards. It's got to be, you know, you've got to give an effort. You got to give a real effort. Now, again, I give the disclaimer. If there's an issue and they're hurting that thing further, no. Nobody's saying put anybody at risk. But if it's a pain thing and, you know, he can play two out of every three games, even something like that, play.
Okay, we're starting Celtics, 617-779-0985. The Kyrie Irving injury, the game last night, all of it on the table for you. Hoop heads, haven't done a ton of Celtics recently, so here's your chance to do it this hour, 617-779-0985. Do you have any big picture concerns about Kyrie Irving? And I'll admit I got sucked into the dark night and the shadow. The dark cloud and the negativity of the Dark Knight himself, Adam Jones, as I'm driving home last night, but I didn't consider it this way. And just looking at the big picture issue with the Celtics, does it concern you? I mean, Kyrie Irving's your best player. He doesn't just have a knee issue. He's had chronic knee issues. You know, his one season at Duke, didn't he miss the whole thing?
That I don't know, but I mean...
I thought he played eight games.
Yeah, that is true.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the same injury. Duke's ninth game of the year, Irving suffered a severe ligament injury in his right big toe. It was a toe injury, not a knee. But he suffered a ligament injury in his right big toe that sidelined him indefinitely. On March 17th, the day before Duke played Hampton in the first round of the tournament, it was revealed Irving would return for the and then he returned for the tournament. But anyway, so he missed most of the year at Duke. He's had knee problems since he's got to Cleveland. He's your number one. He's going to be up for a max contract coming up in a couple of years. Does that all concern you? And your number two is Gordon Hayward coming off of a devastating ankle injury that should get better, but sometimes it just doesn't. Sometimes you're not the same guy on the backside as you are on the front side. And the third current member of your big three is Al Horford, who's how old and wasn't worth max money on his best day, never mind the way he's trending. So there's your current big three. And I'll just add on your kids. Like, we all like Jason Tatum. You should. How has Jaylen Brown progressed this year?
I'd say at the beginning of the year it looked great, but since then he's gone backwards.
He's plateaued.
Up, down, or flatline? Okay? At best, I'd say at best flatline.
First couple of months, though, Maz is right. Like, it was really encouraging, and since then it's just been
okay.
Flat.
And the third young piece was traded away to Brooklyn. That could be a really, really high pick. You're not getting anything this year from the Lakers. Okay, you have like a 2% chance of getting that pick from the Lakers this year. So you may get something next year, but we'll have to see again on that. So put that into the whole big picture. Do you look differently at the Celtics if Kyrie Irving has chronic knee problems?
Of course. Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, as you were saying it, I called up Kyrie's game by game since he's come into the league. 51, 59, 71, 75, 53, 72, 60. I mean, he's never played over 75 games. Not that 75 is a small number, right? In this day and age, you sit guys, you know, on the second night of back-to-backs, things of the like. But there is a durability thing with him, and I think they knew that going in.
And Jones, and again, I'm just telling you what Jones, I'm blaming Jones. I got sucked into the dark vortex and the dark cloud, the shadow.
Misery loves company.
So, you know, Derrick Rose suffered a knee injury and came back. He was an MVP and hasn't been the same since. And not that Jones wasn't drawing a direct line, nor am I. I'm just saying that could be Hayward or that could be Irving. You come back from a devastating injury, you should be better. But for one reason or another, you're just not. You're just not the same guy. And now you got two of those. They're both in their prime, Hayward and Irving. But you got two of them. Those are your two guys.
Hayward's is just an ankle. I'm not that worried about that long term. A knee injury in this league?
Can I ask you something? How has Paul George been since he snapped his ankle?
Well, this year he hasn't been great, but he got good again.
Yeah, he bounced back.
Yeah, he got good again.
And was the same MVP candidate he was before?
I mean, the first year back, it took a little while, but I would say his last couple of years in Indiana, he was good.
Back to normal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm just asking. Yeah. I didn't know the answer. That was just a legit question.
But a knee injury in this league, with as much torque as he's putting on it, his whole game is his handle and his, you know, the way that he can move with the ball.
The quickness.
That's a concern. You know, and Derek, sitting with Gasper on a Saturday, that's the name that immediately came to mind to him. A smaller guy, you know, you get a catastrophic knee injury, you might not be the same. So it's a concern going forward, sure.
I mean, my concern is big picture. This year, I would love for him to come back and them to go on a run. Because I just think it's great. It's fun. It's... We do what we do, so you want your teams to go as far as they can possibly go, and if the Celts go to the finals, I'm all for it. So I want them to come back this year, and I want them to go on a run. But what do I really care about if I'm a Celtics fan? It's the big picture thing.
The window.
And what is he? And what's he going to be, and will he ever overcome these things? Is this just a guy that's going to deal with this and battle this his entire career, and that will that somehow diminish what he can possibly be as a player? And how does that impact your whole franchise and how you plan everything out and just the lay of the land going forward? And again, I know it's an ankle, not a knee, but you just put Hayward on the list too, because that was a big injury. So what's he going to be on the backside of it? And Horford again, you know, what's the trend line there?
No, he looked good last night.
And the kids, Tatum,
joking.
He was good defensively, man.
Tatum should be the guy. Should be, you know, there's no yeah buts there, but I thought Jaylen Brown would be farther along than he was in his second year. I know he's hurt and he's out now, but I was expecting Jaylen Brown to make that second-year move where you look at it and you go, woof, okay, here we go, he's ready. Do you feel that way with him?
No.
Yeah, I mean, ready to take off, ready to, you know, ascend to be what he's going to be, and I haven't seen it.
No, and if you were to ask me right now, like, if I'm going to project one of those guys to be a starter next year and average, let's say, 17, 18 a game, right? Because they're both around, what, 13 now, somewhere in that area? To me, it's not even close. Tatum's the guy. I can totally look at Tatum right now and say, next year he's going to give him 17, 18 a game.
And, you know, that Brooklyn picks could easily be a top five. Right now, they're in the sixth, seventh lottery position. You're not going to get the Lakers pick. They're like in the 12th, 13th lottery position. Okay, again, unless there's something really goofy. The odds are like really, really low. And again, I'm not second guessing the trade. I'd make that trade 10 times out of 10. So the whole thing looks a little different now than it did even a month ago. So I don't know. Again, blame the Dark Knight on that. But we're going to pick up on it. With your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Green Teamers for you right after this.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Rozier pulls up on Westbrook. Three is good. 8.4 on the clock. Carmelo 77% on the year. 1-for-1 tonight from the line. First free throw. Short. The Celtics will have a chance.
Oh, knock down. You gotta be kidding me.
Melo takes a long look at the second free throw. He missed it. Celtics have the rebound and the timeout. 5 second count begins. Morris has to get it in. He does. Bounce pass to Horford. Swings to Tatum. Tatum switches to the right hand. Stumbles in the paint. Kick out Morris. Steps to his right. Three in the air.
Oh!
Got it! He got it! Marcus Morris hit the three. And the Celtics have the lead with 1.2. to go. It really happened.
Somebody shut your mouth. Give me 2 or 3 napkins. You can't kill this team unless you stab them in the heart, burn them, and then have the sun come up on their dead cold bodies.
Brewer will trigger the inbound. It's in safely. Westbrook steps to his right, gets a look, it comes up short, and the Celtics have done it again. No Kyrie, no Smart.
No doubt.
No Jaylen Brown.
No doubt.
No Tice. And yet, with the money on the table, Marcus Morris had no doubt. Westbrook's three falls short. And in a season of nights at TD Garden, where the Celtics have simply stunned the elite teams in the league, somehow, someway, it happened again.
Before I go to the phones quickly than last night, Celtics are good at that. They don't give up. Just chip away, chip away, chip away, make you inbound, make your free throws, inbound, make your free throws, inbound, make your free throws. And if you can't do it, they're going to be shooting the ball with a chance to win or go ahead at the end. Like, I think the Celtics are excellent at that.
I mean, what is it you say about the Patriots? You better play the full 60?
And that's really the way it is with the Celtics. There's only one team that I've seen them play against this year that doesn't fall for that bullcrap.
Golden State.
Golden State gets the ball inbounds and they make their free throws. I mean, it sounds pretty simple. You figure in the NBA, you'd be able to inbound the effing ball and make your free throws. But nope. Not Houston. Not
Oklahoma City.
OKC. Certainly not the Bullets. Like, that's how the Bullets are going to lose to you when you face them in the postseason. It's going to be the same thing. I mean, only one team can inbound the basketball and make their free throws. Like, it's just so... But not even OKC. Carmelo Anthony, what a loser.
Shocker.
What a loser.
Shocker.
He is a dog.
What big gag.
I mean, that is pure gag. Because all the guys, I mean, the guy's a brilliant shooter. He can shoot. It's not like there's, you know, Andre Drummond up there on the free throw line. That's Carmelo Anthony, who's got a smooth ass stroke and can shoot it. He clangs both?
Both.
What a gag.
And Westbrook missed one on the possession before.
Losers.
You know, he's typically over 80%, I think, for his career, 70-something for this season.
Can you inbound the basketball and make your free throws? Because if you can't, the Celtics are going to be shooting at the buzzer to tie the game.
I mean, it really, they had 6 points in 7 seconds.
It's ridiculous.
The Celtics did. From the moment Rozier made to the moment Morris made, 7 seconds off the clock.
Pathetic.
They hit two threes while Oklahoma City missed two free throws. Unbelievable.
To me, it's all about Carmelo, though. I mean, you got that kind of shooter. He's a bum.
He's always been a bum. Sorry.
No, that kind of player on the line?
It should be nails.
You make one to ensure overtime, and you can't even do that? Oh, please.
He's a loser.
That's why that team's going nowhere either. Stephen Taunton, lead us off. What do you got today, Steve?
Hey, guys. Great game last night. I have a question for you guys. How is Carmelo Anthony a plus 11 for the game, and all of a sudden, Marcus Morris is a minus 15. I mean, the guy choked at the line, and here's this guy juking one player and draining that three over another player. Can you guys explain that to me?
Well, Carmelo's a loser.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Loser.
He had a good fourth quarter. He did. He played a good fourth quarter. But then again, right when it at critical time, what happens? He does something stupid. You know, that's lack of focus. That's all that is. How else could you possibly explain that? The guy's like 77% from the line. All he has to do is make one to ensure a tie misses both.
Oh, please.
It's a gag. It's who he is. It's exactly who he is.
Morris is a ballsy little player.
He is. He's got big ones. And I'm not even saying that because he made the shot. He's not afraid to take it. Yeah, and he's had a couple of these now in the last little bit where he's made some big shots. That was a good pickup. Not afraid.
Luke in Vermont, your thoughts on the Kyrie Irving injury. You were scared?
It's a gut punch, really. I agree with Washburn. If there's any chance of him being hurt with Hayward already down, you have to shut him down. And I wouldn't say that if all those other guys weren't nicked up, because I think if you have everybody but Hayward at 100%, you have a real chance to make it to the finals.
Hell yeah.
But with all those little other injuries, like Marcus Smart, if he can't play, even I know you joke about him, Tice, but I think without Hayward, you needed everybody else at 100%. And if you got other guys with injuries, you can't take that risk with Kyrie. I just don't think it's worth it. I would rather have everybody at 100% next year. And that's
okay
for me to say.
Let's say Marcus Smart comes back in the second round and Kyrie Irving can play to start the first round. Wouldn't you play?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, forget Daniel Tice. All due respect.
It's not about Tice. I'm just saying with Hayward and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, that just those little pieces that really aren't that important, when you have five of them, they add up.
I hear you. But if Smart can come back in the second, you should be able to beat the Bucks or the Heat without Marcus Smart. Would you please? Okay, so even if Marcus Smart misses the first round, fine. Let's say, and Jaylen Brown, it's a concussion. It shouldn't be, unless, you know, God forbid, it's one of these really severe ones. He should be back soon.
Brown's going to be back on this road trip.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, he's already shooting again.
All right, so Jaylen Brown's back. Marcus Smart should be back. And if Kyrie Irving is back for the first round, even he could sit out you should be able to beat the Miami Heat without Irving, too. But let's just say he's, you know, but whatever. Then I think you should come back and you go on your run. I still think you're an NBA finalist. If that's the case, Irving for the first, Jaylen Brown in the lineup, and Marcus Smart for the second round, you should be able to make it to the NBA Finals.
I'm with you on that. Even if Kyrie can't come back and Smart can't come back in that first round, the injuries aren't an excuse. They can't lose in the first round. It's a disaster. Like,
I mean,
even if they're
out of the Heat.
Even if it's the Bucks, Mike.
I don't know. If Giannis takes over, that's a little different, but The Heat, to me, there's no excuse losing to the Heat no matter what you have.
Oh, they should absolutely beat Miami. They're better than Miami without both of those guys. But they you know, to me, the thing that I want to know about Kyrie is they always say he's not at risk of hurting himself additionally. And I always say, really? Then why is he in pain? Like, because to me, pain is the body telling you something's not right.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you mean you can't hurt it more? I've never gotten that. I've never understood that. Like, you can't hurt it more. It's not getting better if you keep leaning on it. So, I wonder about that issue with Kyrie. Like, they say, well, you can't hurt it more. Really? Then why does it hurt?
Pete in Delaware, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Jason Tatum, I thought that was, in my opinion, his best game last night just because of all the guys that were out and it was on him. He stepped up. He showed his entire game. And, guys, I love him going to the hole. He went to the hole down the middle, to the right, to the left. And Kyrie comes back. He needs to continue to do that. It'll take less pressure off of Kyrie. He's almost virtually unstoppable. He's going to get fouled.
Okay, but let's go easy with the virtually unstoppable. But how do you feel about him as your two scoring option?
No, I don't think you have any other choice. It's got to be him.
You certainly don't, but how do you feel about it?
Inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, inconsistent. Just like Brown.
19-year-old kid, yes.
Well, which is why you really need both of them. And you have to hope that they don't both have off nights on the same night. That, you know, you're getting something out of one or the other. But Tatum's played well lately since Brown has gone out. You know, Grandy's talked about a lot of this on the broadcast. If they move him to the two guard now without Brown, and maybe he's getting better matchups there, and it's leading to points. He's got the ball in his hands more.
Well, after the mental meltdown and the double overtime loss last week to Washington, he's had a couple of good games here, including last night. I'm with the caller. That was his best game as a pro.
I mean, in the last five, he's got 2 19s and 2 23s, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's pretty good for a kid who's 19, 20 years old.
You missed him crapping his pants when you were out, though. It was awful. Missed a free throw to ice the game, and then takes this hideous three at the end of double overtime. Like, it was bad. And I was starting to waver. I wasn't saying I was out. I still wouldn't trade him for Anthony Davis, but I was starting to waver a little bit.
I'm sure. I'll go back and check the archives.
You flip-flopper Murray, you would have been all over me. But
Murray is. He's the human pancake.
But typically, those aren't the guys that show in the postseason in that league. You know, it's not a young man's league once you get to the postseason.
No, which is why, again, to me, it's like it's the combo of the two that has worked, that you can get something there. I think Brown's going to have more trouble than Tatum, because Tatum's offensive game is more complete. So if someone does play aggressive D on him, he will blow by. But Brown gets pocket picked easy.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like Antetokounmpo. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5 Sports
Hub. You know, one thing that really pisses me off is command. You know, you're giving guys, walking guys, hitting guys with breaking balls. That kind of stuff can't happen. That's just little stupid stuff that kind of gets in the way. And those are things that kill you, you know, walks and hit by pitches. So, I mean, at least when they're hitting the ball, they're earning it. You'll never know if you walk them. So, command is the one that kind of gets me the most.
All right, back to your Celtics calls here in a second. Just want to give you a quick Red Sox minute, because why not? Season starts a week from tomorrow, if you can believe it. Doesn't it feel like baseball, folks?
It is. It's unbelievable.
I can
next
just
week.
Feel it in the air. Just like, you walk outside, I just hear the birds, see the grass. I just feel it. I can smell it.
Smell the fertilizer.
Smell it in the air. It just feels like baseball, doesn't it? But anyway, that was Chris Sale yesterday. What was your takeaway on that, Mass?
Okay, so get ready for him to suck at the beginning of the year. I'm telling you right now.
That's a good Felger and Mass take.
Yep, get ready for it. It's coming. Because, again, this whole new modified routine, like, and I'm going to say this again so everyone knows I'm clear on it. They're doing the right thing. Okay, they're doing the right thing. They're being good in April and then sucking in September doesn't do them any good. Does them no good. So whether you miss the playoffs or lose in the first round, ultimately for this team, it's the same thing. One's a little worse than the other, but they both suck. So no good. So they're doing the right thing. But I had questions about whether this guy fully was invested in this change at the beginning of the spring. And, you know, honestly, I don't care about the spring training game, and don't let him kid you. Neither does he. Okay, he doesn't either. But if he doesn't have all the reps he normally does, there is every reason to believe that he won't be quite as sharp as he normally is to start the year. Get ready. There's a chance in April that he's going to suck. And it would not surprise me if he blows his stack in the process because he hates coming out of the gate and sucking. Like, I'm just trying to keep an eye on it because I think it could be interesting.
Murray, you enjoy the ping pong in the background there?
I do. Got to make sure the guys are having fun. You know, in that clip and the other Sale clips that we have, a lot of ping pong going on in the background. So I know the Red Sox are already having fun. Fun, very important to the 2018 Red Sox. Got to have fun. A lot of fun. Fun.
Oh, we're going to have fun, damn it.
He'll be singing Zippity Doodah out of here, as Chevy Chase said. Yes. Okay. So you want to weigh in on that? You may. In the meantime, back to your phones. Jay and Lemonster on the Seas. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Felger. Let me get it right. You're a Smart over Rozier guy, correct? If you only could keep one?
100%.
Listen, the reason why I would keep Rozier over Smart is because since they both have been here, who has grown more, in your opinion? I'm talking overall.
Fine. Rozier, and I would say to you that Rozier even has a higher ceiling.
Right. So for me, that's why I'm keeping Rozier. I don't think Smart's shot is ever going to get better, ever. And I think Rozier's defense has already gotten better. And you see that he has big ones. Like, he'll take that big shot. He did it last night.
I understand. Yeah, I mean, Jay, it's a close call, and fair enough.
Let's not question Smart's balls, though, because he's got big ones.
Oh, my God.
He's not afraid either.
I mean, but if this is about intangibles, Smart's got him beat by a big margin. But I think how I would look at Rozier is that his intangibles aren't bad. His compete's pretty good. And his offensive game is just so much better. Right? So like, that's how I would justify Rozier. And I would also say he does have a higher ceiling because of his offensive game. He could be a better offensive player than Marcus Smart. I still go Smart. Because I also think Rozier has a lower floor. He could go in the other direction.
Sure.
You know? Because, again, if Rozier's not really scoring for you, what's he doing? I'm not saying he's a horrible defender or those other things.
But it's a different defense. It's quick. It's slight. You know, it steals.
He's not a difference maker.
Well, he's not. He can't guard big guys the way Smart can.
He's not a difference maker. Marcus Smart, going 1-for-10, can be a difference maker. And that's not going anywhere. That travels. And that's slump proof. I mean, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, even if Marcus Smart doesn't progress, he's still going to have that thing. And I've seen that thing win you games consistently. And so I still go Marcus Smart.
I told you, for me, it's close. Earlier I was Rozier, and then Smart came back from that first injury playing like he did, and it's hard to not appreciate him when he's playing like that. But look, if Kyrie misses any time here and in the playoffs, Rozier will get his chance to show whether he can play with the big boys.
Al in Carver. Hi, Al.
Oh, me. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Good, Al.
Now I feel like the hype is down out on the Irvin. What are you thinking? I say he's going to definitely, absolutely play through this. Why would he call it the season? I mean, if it's not.
So here's why: as Maz reported, there's screws in there, and if the screws just have to come out, he can't feel right unless they're out. Then they have to come out, and so I mean, he can play through it, but if he has to take games off, days off, weeks off, it just doesn't feel right. Then what's the point of that? He can't play through that.
I know, but definitely he could probably use a couple weeks because I'm a knee guy, bad knee guy.
Hey,
and
Al.
I'll tell you what. Yes, sir.
What if the team doesn't want him to play?
That could be. That very well could be.
And you know, but that part I don't totally get. Well, I mean, they're just protecting their long-term asset.
Exactly.
I mean, I do get that. I do. Except, I don't know, they can go to the NBA Finals, man. I mean, where they're going to lose in five games, but you get to go to the NBA Finals and make that next move and really sort of establish yourself as the next team. And maybe there's still another shoe to drop with a big trade or something. You know, there's still another.
You still got to be realistic about it, though. So they're not going to have Hayward back. And if that's the case, you know, just wait until next year. You know, you got snake bit by injuries this year. You lick your wounds. And you worry about this longer term for these guys to be healthy when they come back and you go at it next year.
You know, to me, and again, we can talk about this as much as you want. To me, the bigger question is big picture, long term. Is Kyrie Irving damaged goods? I mean, just put it to you like that. Is your number one damaged goods? And is this the kind of thing you'd be dealing with all his whole career?
You can ask the same question about Anthony Davis, who everyone is lusting for, and this is one of the reasons I've been concerned about him. The guy's had over 25 injuries in his 5-plus years that he's been in the league.
Fine.
So
put other guys on the list. If you all feel the same way about Joel Embiid, fine. For all of you who dump on Maz for promoting the Sixers, who say, well, Joel Embiid can't stay healthy. How do you feel about Irving? So fine, you got the same kind of guy.
See, I'd still make that deal.
How's that taste?
Well, it's brutal.
It's concerning, but I'd still want him to get re-upped. I mean, that's what you get with these guys.
When you say you still make the deal, you mean the
Kyrie deal?
Of course.
Yeah.
I said in the first segment, I make it 10 times out of 10. Because when you have a chance to get that kind of talent, which Irving has, for what you sent out the door, which are a bunch of pieces, you have to do it every time. The only thing that did hurt and could hurt is that Brooklyn pick. Brooklyn could get a top five pick this year in a year where there are some really good big guys. So that's the thing you have to keep an eye on. But I make the deal 10 times out of 10. I'm just telling you, it looks different today than it did even a month ago.
Oh, totally looks different. And it's not, you know, again, leave it to Jones to take that slant.
No, yeah, he got me. But he sucked me right in.
But nonetheless, it's not wrong. I mean, again, Hayward had a big injury. And I do worry about ankles. I'm sorry. When you're talking about the kind of injury he had, I don't just brush that one aside. I want to see what it looks like. Kyrie has never played more than 75 games. He's been in the 50s, I think, three times. That's missing a lot of games. Horford's as old as dirt, for crying out loud. It feels like
he's playing like it. You know, again, your current big three. Two are damaged goods, and one feels like, I don't know.
Offensively, he looks lost.
Oof. Doesn't look good for Al Horford right now. And he's got even 2-3 years to go on his deal. And of the, you know, your three young pieces, and I consider the Brooklyn piece the third, or the draft pick the third, the Lakers slash Brooklyn pick, whatever you're going to end up with. Jaylen Brown is flatlined. Tatum looks amazing. And the pick is going to be worse than you thought. You're going to have to wait an extra year. Not just, I think the whole thing you could, good job, Jones. I mean, he got me thinking, just to look at that whole other perspective. There's a whole other way to look at it.
I'm with the Bruins. I don't know about you guys. I'm with the Bruins.
Long commercial. Are you concerned about the long-term impact of Kyrie Irving's knee? Your thought right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's going to get a second opinion. That's why he probably won't go on the trip. So, and again, I think that's smart of him. But I haven't talked to him yet since that decision was made, and I haven't talked to Danny or our staff about it.
Wasn't Stevens on earlier in the day with Beadle and Zoe saying, hey, you could easily make the trip with us.
Correct. Yeah.
And just the lilt in his voice was a little more optimistic or sunshiny. And then he got to pregame last night after Maz's report and sort of had to cop to, well, he's not even on the trip. But when he talked to Beadle and Zoe, he said he could very easily come on this trip for all I know. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said along those lines. And his tune changed. So either he was just forced into the truth by Maz's report, or he wasn't fully aware of what was the extent and what was going on.
Oh, I think they were aware.
No, they? Obviously someone was.
Yeah, I don't think it was new news. I mean, I think he knew, and they just, you know, they were trying to keep it under wraps for whatever reason. And, you know, now why were they trying to keep it under wraps? I don't know. I mean, if the guy's not going to play, eventually the questions are going to mount, and sooner or later people are going to find out. Maybe they're just not trying to incite any sort of panic among the fandom. Not that that fandom panics anyway. So, you know, to me, these things ultimately always come out. Like sooner or later. So I don't know. Maybe Kyrie doesn't want it out. Maybe that's what it is.
He certainly didn't talk yesterday, right? Yeah. Okay, so back to your thoughts here. Martin on the Cape. Hi, Martin.
Hey, how are you, Michael? This is Rozier's like third year, so I look upon Terry Rozier as an automatic starting guard on at least 2/3 of the teams in the NBA. He's hopped off the bench and he's risen to the challenge. What more could you ask? This is the first thing that Danny should consider in any future trade talk. And I was wondering, Mike, will you still take my calls when I move up to Maine in a month?
Oh, dicey, Martin. I don't know. You got to maintain that Cape wit. You can't be lollygagging like the Maynards up there. I don't know. We'll have to see. Martin in Maine. Oof.
Well, they're going to remove part of your brain if you're going to move up there, Martin.
Terry Rozier, starting guard on 2/3 of the team.
I don't know.
Maybe not, but I don't know.
Maybe a third.
But I that's not how I would look at it. I look at it in a vacuum. You can probably only keep one, Smart or Rozier. I keep Smart. That's just what it is.
I mean, it's really, Smart gives you way more defensive versatility on that end.
I think he makes more game-winning plays. Brett in Amherst on last night. What'd you think, Brett?
Yeah, look, I'm not like the take police or whatever, but I just don't like you calling Melo a bum.
Oh, he's a loser. He's a loser.
Look, so he choked, but he's not a choker. A choker isn't going to nail two big threes, and get the guard in absolutely silent, and then he draws all the defenders and kicks out a big assist to Corey Brewer, who hits another big three. Yes, he missed both of those free throws, but this man's a national champion. He's never had a win.
Oh, stop it's
not that. He's a national champion. So is Christian Laettner. Would you stop?
Fair.
Really?
Fair.
You know, Orangeman here calling us on line 4 in Amherst. He's a national champion. Shut up.
I couldn't give a rat's ass what he won in college. He should have been a better pro. That and I, you know,
he has won exactly diddly poo when it has mattered. Don't give me the next thing he's going to tell me is a multiple gold medalist.
Yeah, right. Well, he's like, an Olympian as well.
Yeah, they're big on that one. The Carmelo crew.
He's the worst kind of player. He's a guy who could make other people better, who makes them worse. He's the worst kind, and he did have a good fourth quarter. The caller's right. He made it. I think he made every shot that he took in the fourth quarter up until the free throws. You know, a couple from the field. I want to say they were both threes. A couple of free throws before that. He did make a nice dish when he took the ball into the paint. All of that. He had a really good fourth quarter. And then, in typical Carmelo fashion, he screwed it all up.
He lost. Cam and Taunton with the baseball thought from Mass. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, did you guys see the 30 clubs in 30 days thing on the Red Sox? They totally ripped off you guys making fun of Win, Dance, Repeat.
What's 30 clubs in 30 days? I don't know what that is.
It's the thing they do on the MLB Network. They go to all the spring trainings, and they were totally saying, like, oh, you guys do all that big Michael Jackson dancing in the outfield, then Bradley and Betts are not going to do it this year.
They're not going to do it. Good.
Okay, and I just want to make a quick point here on Xander Bogaerts. I mean, look, in the final game of the playoffs last year, I remember he homered into the Red Sox bullpen, and I want to be honest with you, that actually kind of pissed me off, because that's what he's capable of. And 2 years in a row now, the guy is completely flatlined at the plate post-All-Star break. And last year, post-All-Star break, he also sucked defensively. So it's like, this is a make-it-or-break-it year for this guy. Dude's like, do you want to be the superstar you can be, or do you just want to be a guy who slaps singles all day long? Because you're not going to get the big payday you think you got coming for you if you don't start hitting more home runs.
See, I thought last year was the make-or-break year for him. Like, I sort of feel like, all right, well, now I know what he is. It's going to take a shocking turnaround to convince me now. But that home run he hit? Alex Cora's been talking about it all spring. Let it go already, for crying out loud. Holy crap, great, he did it once. If you can do it more than once and do it with some kind of regularity, I'll pay attention. But can we stop talking about it? It was 8 months ago, for crying out loud. Enough. He had one home run against you into the bullpen in the playoffs. Shut up about it already. Good God.
Eddie in Framingham, hi.
Hey, guys, quick thought. I want to know what you guys think about OKC. I mean, they played a decent game last night. They weren't great. But did you see, I think it was in the third quarter, Russell Westbrook, he came right down the lane, right down the middle. He did a stutter step and then another Euro step and then switched hands and did a right-hand layup. It was just amazing. He's one of the most athletic guys in the NBA, and I want to know what you guys think about.
He's an amazing player. Well, I'm not impressed by the team. Like, their bench, after you get past those three guys, boy, do they suck.
They should be better than they are. I mean, again, when you get those players.
Well, I mean, I guess you include Adams as a good piece. Right, but their bench is horrid. But they just, I don't know, something's not right about that team.
They're 43 and 30. Like, that team should be like...
That's so mediocre. No kidding.
That team should be like 6 or 7 games better than it is at least.
And you're telling me George is the same guy?
He is, yeah. George had a good game last night. Yeah, I mean, he made, you know, what'd he make from three? He made like 6 out of 8 or something like that. And he had a ton of rebounds. He's a good player.
Well, no, but Westbrook's an MVP candidate. And if Paul George is the same guy, how are they not...
Well, it's three ball-dominant players. Of course it's going to be a mess.
See, I think George, to me, if he's with the right guy, George is the second guy. That's what I think. I don't think he is. But the problem is Westbrook's a ball hog, and the other guy's a meathead.
Jeff in Scituate on the Celts. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hey, how's it going? I had a question. Do you guys think the Celtics could pass the Raptors or Cavs this year?
No. Well, no, I'm not in the regular season. They're stuck at 2, pretty much. They're stuck at 2. If Kyrie Irving is look, Game 7 in Toronto in the Eastern Finals, I don't think I pick you. I pick you in 6 in that series.
If they're healthy, I'll take the Celtics.
I got you in 6 though. I don't have them winning Game 7 on the road in Toronto to go to the NBA Finals.
Toronto has no marbles. By that team's got no marbles.
You understand? By that point, they will. By that point, they will have gotten through 2 rounds and will be at home for Game 7. Go to the NBA Finals. They're not going to lose that game.
You also have to consider the officiating. Does the NBA really want the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals?
Nope. It's a disaster because I think it's like hockey. You don't get the Canadian ratings.
Yeah, what are they going to put the games on, TSN?
I think they put them up on CBC or TSN or Rogers Sportsnet, whatever they're... So you don't get ratings points for the Toronto market in the States.
You get Bob McKenzie doing analysis.
and you're not talking about the NHL information guy.
No, no, him and his brother Doug. Get off, hoser.
Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
Hi. So we know Murray thinks that Tatum is untouchable. I was wondering
you guys would trade him for Davis. I was wondering who else you'd be willing to trade him for.
So, maybe Karl-Anthony Towns. Like, I'd put him on the list. I love Karl-Anthony Towns. God, Davis is better, though. He's more athletic. But Towns is up there, too. I'd do that one.
How about one of the guys you saw last night? Would you trade him for Paul George?
No.
All right.
Not without,
I like hearing that, man. That's good.
Not without contract security, right? Like, no. You know,
even if you had the contract security, you would.
Gets tougher, but probably not. Because, honestly, I think he's kind of a younger Paul George. He's not quite as long. George is what? I think George is almost 6'10", for crying out loud. He's listed at 6'9",
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, 6'9".
But George is longer. George is longer. It feels like he can shoot over guys more than Tatum can. I don't know. Maybe he still grows a little. But I just, Tatum's got so much upside now.
Okay, Celtics the lead today on the board all day long. We will mix in some other thoughts, including Patriots next hour. And Tom Brady's documentarian continues his media assault. Continues to tell us that Tom Brady not only is not playing to 45, but is year to year. This continues. This continues up until today. This continues up until within the last 24 hours. Gotham Chopra continues to tell us Tom Brady is year to year. We'll get into this and why and how do you feel about that. We'll get into all that after Murray's update here. 90 quick seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.